There's a lot of things that I enjoy preaching about. There are very few things that I don't want to preach about. Chapter 14 here in the book of Revelation is not one of those things that I get excited about. But it is one of those things where I will enjoy letting those that don't know the truth and then giving you an opportunity to do something about it. Amen? We are in the book of Revelation. Revelation, it's only one, there's no S on it. It is about Jesus Christ himself and what his final way will be. We're talking about the fifth world domination. It's only been four in all the history of man. It's only going to be five in the history of man. And the fifth world domination is coming. And it's now, it will be like no other. We have learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of our lives, many days of our lives, and we've heard about his love and we've heard about his compassion. We've heard about how he will bend over backwards and wait, his patience. But I want to give you just a small picture today of the final day when Jesus Christ says, I've had it with the world. It is an awesome picture. May we pray. Father, we thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, my prayer is that you will move me out of the way and you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. God, I pray that you will prepare the minds and the hearts of all of your people, saved and unsaved ones. Today. For those that do not know you, that you will put in their hearts an understanding of the danger of not being right with you. I pray for those that do know you, Father, that you will put a boldness in all of us. To know what is going to happen to a non-believing friend, a non-believing family member, and a non-believing enemy. For Lord, if we understand what you will do, we will have to come to the conclusion there is no such thing as an enemy. You will show what you will do to enemies. Father, teach me that others may be taught. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. We spent the last several weeks looking at verse 6 and 7, talking about the vision of Antioch and why we are who we are, why we do what we do, why we will continue the way we will continue. We're here for the purpose of pleasing this God, he who is coming back ferociously. If you can understand ferocious, you oftentimes will never ever put that word with God. A husband that is a batterer is ferocious. A woman who cannot control her tongue is ferocious. A serial murderer is ferocious. A dominating world kingdom is ferocious. And since God would be the fifth, he's going to come with ferocity. When we look at these verses, we're going to do a lot of verses today. And the reason why is because we will reiterate every one of these verses as we go through the rest of the book of Revelation. So this, again, chapter 14, is a break between the seventh trumpet and the seven bowls. And this is the beginning of the bowls. It's talking about victory. It's talking about what Christ is going to be like. So ever since we hit chapter 14, we have basically been in the bowls, even though it hadn't seemed like it. Because the bowls is to break humankind's back, to eliminate all strength of resistance. And then to have a God who has hardened man's heart to not be able to surrender, even though they're broken, is a ferocious thought, but a true one. Verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. We're going to eliminate all false teaching today about hell. I'm going to give you the best example that I can, humanly speaking, of what an infinite God will do. Here it is, a finite mind trying to explain to you the infinite God of power and judgment. You've heard people say, well, I might as well just go to hell. All my friends are going to be there. You heard that one? Now, I don't even want to go to heart surgery just because all my friends are there. Amen. See what I'm saying? So, I can just imagine. But if I was in the surgical room with the best heart specialist in the world, I know at least one day I'm getting out of there. And I will have others with me. But I'm going to explain something to you. That if you are not a Christian today, you had better understand. Just talking that way, my Bible is going dark. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, these words alone is kind of penetrating. Amen. without any explanation, just hearing the word. But I'm a preacher, so I must emphasize and exegete the scriptures so that thou, my friend, will have no excuse when you are cooking. John, did that come out right, brother? Sorry, brother. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Oh, when we get on into Revelation, you and I don't understand what it means to rest. In our society today, men and women trying to keep up with the Joneses. And I don't know why we try to keep up with the Joneses. Amen. The minute you catch up with the Joneses, they refinance. Right, Marvin Jones? Yeah, can you believe I said that? Verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle. Reap, for the time is come, for there is time for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. Wait till we talk about that. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden outside the city, and blood came out of the wine press, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. You don't have any idea what I just read there. Well, let's close in prayer. I know what I just said, and I feel good about me. Some of you say, this Revelation stuff, I never wanted to study it anyway. Why are we even in this book? Because it's in the book. We preach the whole Bible. And when we get in the book, we preach the whole book. Amen. And it is not very much fun to preach this kind of stuff. But you and I must know what it really means in the whole truth of God. Well, since I am an expository preacher, let's expository the scriptures. Amen. Verse 8. Let's break it down so we can all understand. This is talking about Armageddon. Okay? The last great war. The war of wars. The Super Bowl of wars is going to end everything on heaven as you and I know it. Armageddon. When we break down and start talking about Armageddon as we go through the rest of the book, can you imagine the blindness of man that when God comes in the cloud, that man is going to turn to fight him? Can you imagine the audacity of man? But you can't blame man for turning to fight God because he's going to be blinded. And I believe Satan has a great deception that he's set up and he's going to use. All set up with UFOs. All set up with Easter Island. All set up with the Great Pyramids. All part of the great illusion that God's going to put on man to turn to fight when he comes in the air. We'll talk about those as we go through the book of Revelation. Are you getting excited?
Yep.
And you're saying, Pastor, we'll get excited if you get past this part. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Who is this Babylon? We're going to get into it even more in chapter 17 and chapter 18, the great city. Some people believe that Babylon, since it's called the great city, is Jerusalem. They got some great points why they think it's Jerusalem, but yours truly don't think so. Amen? Don't make it right, because I don't think so. But I have done a lot of study to come to the conclusion I've come to. I don't think it's Jerusalem. Some believe it's going to be Babylon itself. They believe it's going to be rebuilt. The great Babylon is going to fall. And they got a lot of good reason to believe that it's going to be the city of Babylon rebuilt. But yours truly do not believe it's going to be the great city of Babylon. Some believe that the great city of Babylon is going to be Rome. Because we know Rome is going to be brought back together. Rome is the only world power, the fourth world power, dominating kingdom on mankind that was never destroyed. It was just dispersed. So we know Scripture tells us, the book of Revelation tells us, that that kingdom is going to be brought back together with 10 kings. They got a lot of good points to believe that it could be Rome. But yours truly, do not believe. Is Rome. I think the great city of Babylon is going to do a great deal of business with Rome. But I don't think it's Rome. And the fourth thought, is that the great city of Babylon is going to be the religious world system. Because in 17 of the book of Revelation, verse 5, it's called the great abomination of all harlots, the harlots of harlots. And that's always dealing with religion, the religious, nation of Israel, those that's supposed to know God. And those that are in that view believe that it could be the Catholic Church. I won't go that far. I think we, at times, push truth a little too far. Amen? But I do believe that the Catholic Church will have something to do with it. I firmly believe that. But it's going to be more than just the Catholic Church. I think that there's going to be some churches like Antioch. It's going to have some things to do with it if they're blinded. And I think there's going to be some Baptists. What? Baptists? Being a part of the great harlot? They don't even dance. I think it may be some Methodists and some Presbyterians. It's going to be some Jehovah's Witnesses. I think it's going to be the religious, lying religious horde that is going against God his whole plan. We'll discuss that even more as we go through the book of Revelation. Is that good enough explanation for today? Amen. Well, that's even if it's not, that's all you're going to get. Because we got a lot of verses. Amen. Check this out. And the third angel, verse 9, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his head, on his forehead or his hand. Now, look, we don't know what the mark is. You know, they think it's going to be 666, and they think it's going to be, you know, or Microsoft is coming with the chips. You know what I mean? I don't know. But one thing I do know, I don't want to be here. Can't hear you. And if I am a believer in Christ before this, I'm going to be eating barbecue during this period. Because we're going to have a lamb feast, feast of the lamb going on during this period. And I know God is going to barbecue. Come on, y'all can laugh. I know God can make some good barbecue sauce. Amen. It's got a barbecue. Look at this. Ooh. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of wrath of God. Folks. God made everything from nothing. You were simply a thought process of God. And it wasn't a long thinking process. And look how magnificently made we are. All the mountains, the Grand Canyon, the Great Tetons, Mount Everest, a thought from nothing, from God, is this. Even the kangaroo. is from God. I need to make a little funny animal. And he thought it from nothing. Amen. A giraffe. From God. Amen. The sky. From God. The heavens. From God. The stars, which we call our sun. From God. Nebulae. From God. Black holes, from God. Filled up holes, from God. And it all came from his thought, from zero. If he can bring that kind of power from his thoughts, what do you think he can do and come up with to destroy it? Just not think about it for 1 second. If God decides not to think of you and I and the whole creation for 1 second, it's gone. Serious explosion. You talking about internal combustion. Anybody in here not knowing Christ? Are you scared yet? You ain't heard nothing yet. God is awesome. What is he going to do to you if you don't know him? Now, you know, I know some of you are going, that's why I don't come to church. I hate these brimstone and fire sermons. Well, you know, God brought you here today. I usually don't preach on this. Amen. Those of you that come here know this is just the verses we've fallen on today. And if you're here, it's because God wants you to know there is some fire and brimstone coming. Now, are you going to stoke the fire? did the pastor say that? You so insensitive oaf. I'll give you a secret. I'd rather for you to deal with me and think I'm insensitive than to deal with the wrath of God, which is very insensitive. And he's not going to feel bad about it, because he's given you opportunity just like today to change your mind and your heart towards him. So if you wouldn't have came, I wouldn't have to preach on this. Ken, you just be quiet over there in that chair, boy. Ain't nobody saying nothing to you. You're messing up my sermon. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Did you see that? Woo! They're tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And it's day and night. And forever and ever. That's a long time. Not just forever, but forever and ever. So that's forever on steroids. Well, I'm going to go to hell because all of us, all my buddies going to be down there, and it's going to be one big party. The best way I can explain hell to you is this way. It will be a total isolation of emptiness. You won't see anybody else. You're going to be totally isolated in darkness. Remember the darkness that God brought on Egypt? He says when he brings his trumpets and when he brings his seals, he said he made it so dark that you can strike a match and not see the match between your eyes and the match. Because it'll be the first time that light will become succumbed by darkness. So you may have someone right next to you, but you won't be able to hear them or see them, because the darkness in the absence of God blocks all things from you. Total isolation. And then tormenting inside that isolation. And let me see if I can bring it home a little bit for you. Just a tad bit, because I am a finite mind trying to explain an infinite wrath and judgment. It'll be like having the ability to grow older every moment, multiplied faster because time is gone, without ever having the ability to get old enough to die. It's like getting thirstier, have the ability to get thirstier and thirstier and thirstier and thirstier and thirstier and thirstier without ever having the ability to stop getting thirstier, without the ability to ever get it quenched. And then you can't die of thirst. It's like a sex addict with lust and desire growing more and more every day. Some of you guys are sitting here and going, it's bad enough when you just submit to it. But to think in hell is going to grow, and your perversion is going to grow, and the desire to have sex is going to grow, and you're going to burn in your hearts and never, ever have the ability to get it satisfied, die from it, and it keeps growing. Pain. See, right now we have the ability that pain gets so great we pass out. Not in hell. It's going to grow every day, every moment. Get worse, harder. Oh, help me, destroy me, deliver me, God. Just let me die. God says, you are dead. Without the ability to die. And I'm going to let it grow every day for eternity. I'm going to tell you something. If you can understand that, you don't even want your worst enemies there. Much less those we pretend we care about. But we are afraid to talk to them because we may turn them off. Put it in that perspective. Don't make much sense, does it? I am not one that say I told you so. But at the great white throne, when all those I have witnessed to and talked to that has gotten angry with me on this earth will be able to look at me and they will say, you told me so. Anybody want to go to hell? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're on the way. Oh. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. And whosoever received the mark of his name, here is the patience of the saints. Right in the midst of God calling on judgment, he says, boy, look at the patience of the saints during this period, during this tribulation period. Listen at that glorious aspect of out of Revelation chapter 6, when they have been screaming and praying and asking God, when are we going to be avenged? When are you going to get these people who has done this to us? God says, your patience is being paid for now. I'm going to get them. And your patience has been well worth it. Watch your God work. Watch him work. Now, what does that mean? He's going to work. Beginning with verse 14. And I looked at me, behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. Jesus Christ. Last day of the war of Armageddon. This is what will happen. When all the armies from the east ascend. When all the armies of the west ascend. When all the armies of the north ascend. And when all the armies of the south ascend on Jerusalem. And the Armageddon Valley. The last day that God says, I have given man his opportunity. This is what will happen. He will be sitting on a cloud which represents heaven, which represents righteousness, which represents patience, which represents love, which represents wrath, which represents judgment, which represents the finality that I have had. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. This right here is ripe. It simply means it is over, ready. In other words, God says, I have waited, and I have waited, and I have waited on you. I have searched for you. I have pricked your heart. I have put instances in your life. I have put people in your life. I have sent the word of God to you. I have sent circumstances to you. I have allowed you to see world events. I have allowed you to see me come through in world events. I have put sicknesses on you. I have cured you of sicknesses. I have made you well. I have made you sick. Nothing that I have done has penetrated you. Because you didn't believe when I gave you the opportunity. Now it is impossible for you to do it because I have hardened your heart. And since I have hardened your heart and I have saved all that's going to be saved, reap time. You are ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, verse 16, thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. God is reaping. The angels are reaping. Killing everybody that don't belong to God. Not just going to be at Armageddon, folks. In the valley of Armageddon. It's going to be over the whole world. God's going to do this. He's going to start right there in Armageddon. And then he's going to spread. No man will escape. But let me show you what God says is going to be like. Verse 18, another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. Fire is a judgment. And cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Means he has waited so long that they are rotting. They are overripe. They are rotting. You look at our society today. God has been so patient on our society today. That which used to be wrong is absolutely right. That which used to appall us is getting governmental sanctions. We're overripe today. Verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Do you have any idea what that means? God says, I'm not just going to kill you. God says, I'm going to come down and squeeze the unbeliever like they did in the Old Testament with the grapes. They would drop it in a wine press, and then they would come in with their feet, and they would stomp the grapes with their feet. And the juice from the grapes of being squeezed would flow out of the bottom of the wine press into gathering pots. But the only way to get that grape out is to add more pressure. And the more pressure you added to the grapes, the more wine, the more grape juice will come out of that wine press. And God said, that's what I'm going to do to the world. I'm going to come down on the non-believing world and I'm going to smash. I'm going to squash. And I'm going to break up. No bone will be left whole. I'm going to put such pressure on the earth. Now, the Armageddon alone, the Armageddon Valley, I want you to check out something. Check this. If you don't think the pressure of God and the pressing he's going to put on mankind isn't awesome. And the wine press was trodden outside the city. Listen to this. And blood came out of the wine press, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, even a short horse, a mini pony, think about the blood being that deep for 1,600 furlongs. That don't mean anything to you, does it? Really, I mean, if you think about it. One furlong is 600 feet. One furlong is 600 feet. 1,600 furlongs multiplied times 600 comes out to be 960,000 feet. It's a little over 5,300 some feet, I think, makes a mile. You divide that feet into 960,000. Rounds out to be about 200 miles. The blood's going to flow that deep. Do you understand the size of Israel? Israel's about 200 miles long. God says, when I come down to bring judgment, blood is what cures my land. And I'm going to stomp out people and squash them hard enough and push blood out of their bodies that the whole land of Israel is going to be wiped clean with man's blood. And then I'm going to come and reign. As for me and my house, I'm going to walk with God. If there's anyone here today, no emotions, no eyes closed, no heads down, and everybody looking around. You want to make yourself right with God? This is the day. You know why? Because he said you must believe that he is God and he is man. You must believe that he died on the cross for you, that you may not have to endure this judgment. You must believe that after 3 days of being buried in the ground, he rose again. And you must believe he's now at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting for you to make yourself right with him, because he is still Savior. But in a short time, he's going to drop that title. Is there any man or woman here today that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have the guts to take another chance not to make yourself right with him? Then you are much more man than I am, and you are certainly much more woman. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. If you believe all those things, that he died, he rose again, he's now at the right hand of the throne of God, you need to have a right relationship with Christ. Let's pray. As a matter of fact, let's stand. Father, if there's anyone here today that has never made their life right with you, is not sure, this is the day of salvation. Lord, may they say to you in their own words and from their heart, and God, I really don't care if it's out of fear. We preached on that last week. The first sign of wisdom is fear of the Lord. I don't care how they get in, just as long as they're in, Lord. If anyone here today says, Jesus, here I am, I want to be yours. I believe that you're God, Jesus, and I believe that you're man. I believe you were without sin and died in my place. I believe you was buried after you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I believe you're hearing my prayer right now. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins of not believing in you. I ask you to forgive me. And I thank you because I know you would not lie to me. In Jesus' name, thank you for making me your child and saving me from your judgment. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to let you know something. It is a foolish child that knows that they can save themselves from a licking with their parents by confession. It is a foolish person that won't have the same wisdom to save a licking from God. I pray you prayed that prayer today. But I'm going to give you a secret. I will not feel bad for you if you didn't. Have a good day.